Let me shake the damn devil off. I'm tired as hell. I might.
Don't give me that.
Come on. I'm gonna give the dang truth.
Press your way through.
What song is this?
It's just one I'm just making up. Press your way through.
Oh my gee, I am so tired. But you know what? I'm going to, like you said, I'm going to press my way through. We're going to have a good show because we got a lot of shit to talk about. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Dame Truth, guys. It's your girl, Edith Yolanda, with...
It's your man, the Wednesday Gentleman. How y'all doing? You know, she tried to keep me under wraps, but you know we back.
First of all, I don't understand why you got to come up on the recording like you Teddy Riley or something.
Teddy Riley don't sound like that. Teddy Riley's, yep.
Anyway, it's like every time you come on and I introduce you, you try to get a sexier and sexier and deeper voice. It together.
That's that Will Downing, but it's all good.
Oh, that you do sound like Will Downing.
Yes.
What? Mike, I'm sleepy.
A million ways.
Oh, Lord. Whatever, Mike. Mike, how you been doing?
I'm good. Blessed and highly favored.
Mike, I did a show without you.
Oh, I know.
Okay, listen. Yeah. It wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. I was not going to do it. I promise you.
Well, let me tell y'all something. So she tells me that we're not going to do a show. She's so busy.
I was very busy.
So tired.
First of all, I drove to South Carolina. I came back. I didn't have time. I had to work the very next day.
And then I needed
to take a break.
And then I just happened to check and I see there was a podcast.
Wait.
The hell?
Freeze. Hold up.
Just hurt.
I did not even see. The thing is that I didn't go and get somebody else.
No,
I legit went and did my own thing because, as you all know, Nipsey had just died. Well, it wasn't even so much that he had just died because some days had passed, but so much fuckery and foolery was going on with Kodak Black.
That nigga.
The comments that he made, and then there were just a lot of people, you know, being real negative. One of the things that really got under my skin was how people were saying that there's so many people out here like Nipsey Hussle, except they're just not famous like him. And that was just one of the things that really perturbed me the most, because even though Nipsey was well known in LA, he was not really quote unquote famous. And he wasn't like a Jay-Z or a Beyonce or a Cardi B or a very well-known artist. He was just known for doing good in his hood. And so with that being said, it was kind of like, you know, he was a self-made millionaire, you know, with what he did in his community and how he flipped things and did what he did to get where he needed to be. He really didn't get that with a lot of fans. So that kind of perturbed me.
I think a lot of us, we have a problem when, you know, we're paying honor and homage to a person. You know, they were like, well, you know, there are some other Nipsey Hussles out there. Yeah, we get that. We understand that there are other people in your community,
right,
that may be doing things. But
right,
we have to understand as people, this is not the time to go on and go off about that.
Right.
We're paying honor and respect. This is just like if you have someone that passes in your family. You're not like, well, you know, my cousin Sue, she passed too. No, we're not doing that. It's we pay our respects to those that pass. Then we do better. Now, if you want to say we are not acknowledging our Black activists in our communities, then you would be right.
But that's our fault.
But we have to do better. But it's not the time when he passes. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so. Yo, we do that after the fact. Okay?
Right.
That's how we do better. So, you know, I had to, you know, people don't understand.
They don't have diplomacy.
So,
and they don't know how to really, I just feel like there's a time and a place for everything, and that was neither the time nor the place to bring up what other people are doing in their communities. I just didn't feel like it was the time nor the place. I also felt that it was just, it lacked empathy and sympathy for his family. Right. And I just thought that it was just rude. You know, like, it's crazy because, like I said, Nipsey wasn't, he was known, but he wasn't well known across the masses when it comes to entertainment. His girl was actually more popular than he actually was. Everybody wanted to know who Lauren London was with after Lil Wayne. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't even so much about him being, you know, on top. His girl was. She's the more well-known person in the relationship, but I just thought it was ignorant.
I didn't know he was dating Lauren London. Honestly. Oh, see? I knew about him.
Right.
I didn't know about her because I don't follow her.
Okay.
I knew about his work. I didn't know, my whole thing wasn't about their relationship. So when I saw that, I felt for her.
Right.
In the sense that she lost someone.
Right.
That's where it begins and ends. That's gotcha. It. Not bringing up her past, not bringing up, you know, things. And I think that's what Kodak Black missed the boat, and he doesn't have any type of diplomacy.
Oh God. He's such a roach.
So, you know, and his initial comment was said amidst friends and stuff got out, and then he didn't handle it well. And honestly, you know, sometimes, you know, you gotta mind the company and keep, and then honestly, some things you just don't need to speak on. I'm not gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna give her a year and then I'm gonna go for that. No, that's inappropriate.
It was inappropriate. And then this was another thing that really, really ticked me off, was because you had people like T.I., you had people like Tank. Tank is a label mate with Kodak Black. And you had The Game, and they all spoke out. Everybody, I'm so dumbfounded by the ignorance and the just the mindset of my people, because here we are, I'm seeing on people's posts saying T.I. don't even respect his own wife. Why is he trying to get respect for somebody else's? What are you talking about?
That may be what true.
It's not the time, and it's not, again, everybody feels that they know what these celebrities' real lives are like because they're on a quote-unquote reality television show, or you read about them in an article. But nobody knows what goes on in these celebrities' households unless the people in those households really come forth and speak on it. And my whole thing is that every time somebody came for Tiny, talking about her looks or anything of that magnitude, T.I. has always backed her up.
That's true.
When Tiny was quote unquote supposedly meeting up with Floyd Mayweather, T.I. was ready to fight a heavyweight champ. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, that's my wife, you know? So for people to even say that T.I. Don't even respect his wife, then somebody said, wasn't it Tank who got on some dark-skinned women because they were talking about his light-skinned wife? I'm like, what the fuck does this have to deal or do with the cost of tea in China? Like, y'all sound so fucking ignorant. The only person they didn't come for was The Game, though. Because when The Game said the fuck what he had to say, he said the fuck what he had to say. Did nobody come for The Game, though? So that just lets you know how people are so, they are keyboard gangsters. You know what I'm saying? They ain't no real gangsters because they surely didn't come up and try to play The Game.
Well, that's when you don't pay people any mind.
Yeah, you and just got to ignore them.
And I tend to ignore ignorant folks. So, you know, that's kind of the cost. But we have to do better when we are honoring those that are dear to our culture. Just honor them and respect them.
Right.
It's no time to be, you know, going back and forth. That's so.
Well, it's funny that you said honor and respect them, because this was another thing that, we're not even talking about word in the street, but I wanted to get Nipsey out of the way because we have been really paying a lot of homage and paying our respects to Nipsey, and it's always good to talk about the good that he has done for his community. But what really blew me, and I just saw this yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, people were starting to say that nobody gave like attention to his first baby mama. I know. And they were saying how they were feeling so sorry for her because all the attention was just being paid to Lauren London because she is, you know, the Hollywood celebrity. What happened to his first baby mama, the roundaway chick? Let me just say this, and let's be clear. I'm going to tell you right now. When my daddy died or whatever, they didn't have my mama in the obituary. They didn't have his first wife in the obituary. They had his current wife in the obituary. They had his children's name in the obituary. So my whole thing is this. Why would you expect for a woman who has moved on and is in a relationship with a whole nother man to get the same attention that Lauren London got for the woman who he considered to be his wife, his soulmate, so on and so forth. Even though I know that they were not married, they were in a committed relationship. Why would you want to put the ex up there on the same level as the woman? Y'all, stop being petty. Stop being ignorant. Stop it, stop it, stop it. This is, again, I posted up on my Instagram. Healthy relationships, healthy marriages bring about better communities. If y'all don't want to be a baby mama, if y'all don't want to be a side chick, stop acting like a baby mama, stop acting like a side chick, become a wife. If you want the notoriety, if you want the insurance policy, if you want the, become the wife. Become the wife. And on that note, we're going to go on and take a break. Again, rest in peace, Nipsey.
I'm just smiling. Peace out to all the side chicks.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, because you used to be a side nigga.
I don't call myself the side nigga. I would be calling myself the next man.
Whatever. I don't care what you call it. It is what it is.
I was the next man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Side nigga. All right. We're going to take a quick break. That shit hurts when it happens. It touch your soul.
It don't hurt me none.
What do you mean it don't hurt you none?
What I mean, that's what I was.
So wait a minute. So you didn't want nothing else from this woman. You just wanted to be the side dude.
I mean, I knew my place.
So you didn't get in your feelings.
No.
Okay, her pussy wasn't good enough. All right, guys, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with the Tay Truth. On, let's just talk about it, Mike. Let's just go ahead and talk about it because they trying me. They really trying me.
I saw that question. I was just like,
welcome back to the Dame Truth. It's now time for Word on the Streets. And Mike, from what I understand,
what you understand?
Why I'm acting like a white girl, but clearly my ass is black. That was one of the questions, quote unquote questions, that was stated to me anonymously through Facebook. The new game, anonymously.
This is why I don't do those.
Listen, Mike. I listen.
People will probably say, "Well, you're an uppity nigger."
That was so funny to me because everybody knows clearly. Yes, do I speak the king's language correctly? Yes, I do. Am I a kinky head black girl that loves everything about my melanin and who I am as a black woman? Yes. Next, you're corny. That was whack. Corny.
I just have an issue when people, quote unquote, will say that you're white.
Because I speak properly?
You speak properly. And that's something I've been having to deal with all of my life. Well,
they're stupid. Anyway,
you went to this prestigious school, and you just think whatever. I cut you.
Nigga, I'm educated.
I cut you.
Fuck you.
I will cut you.
I listen,
will cut you like I'm a motherfucker from South Augusta. Okay.
It doesn't bother me. I literally had to fight girls in the dirt road because they said I was white. A lot of them didn't understand why, you know, my mama could drop me off at school and I didn't have to ride the bus. So, I get it. Listen, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not even upset with it. I'm good.
This is why I don't play those games.
I just, listen.
Because if you're going to be anonymous.
It didn't even hurt my feelings. It was funny as fuck.
It ain't a hurt feeling thing, but I mean the anonymous games, I want you to put your name to it.
Yeah, like I will ask you anything that I, first of all, I will try to use diplomacy, but shit, if I have a question and I want to know, I'm going to fucking ask it. Like, yeah. That's just all it is to it. I'm too grown to be, see, this is what it is right here. Y'all who are playing this anonymously game on Facebook, y'all childish. I'm grown. I'm a grown ass woman. If there's something that I need to know, bitch, I'm asking.
Well.
And that's all it is to it. And that's how it's gonna be. End of the story. Mikey is Oregon. Shut up. Anyway, Mike, on Word on the Street. Listen, Word on the Street is going to be kind of juicy and kind of sad because Mike Wendy is going through a divorce.
I'm just glad she told the truth. We all knew.
Listen. She flashed her ring when she came back off of her hiatus. And she said that she was good. And then recently, like maybe 2 days ago, she flashed a nice cocktail ring. It wasn't her wedding band. And from what Word on the Streets, from what I hear Word on the Street is, Charlamagne the God used to be on the Wendy Williams show when she was on radio. And they ended up splitting, of course. But Charlamagne knows what's the tea when it comes to Wendy Williams, Hunter. And he said that her husband is a bum. He's Mr. Williams, actually. Nobody knows her as Wendy Hunter. They only know her by Wendy Williams. She needs to drop that bum. But when she drops that zero, I think she's going to have to drop zeros as well. Especially if there was no prenup.
Well, there was no prenup. And
there you have
the
it.
Issue is that he's like co-producer of the
yes.
show. Yes. And all of that. So he's gonna get his piece of the pie.
I think so.
So you know, she had to give up the money, but you know, it's to me, and this is coming from a divorce guy, I was happy to give up what I gave up for peace of mind.
Listen, that's what I hear.
You can have the house, you can have the cars, you
can
have everything. All I took were my clothes and my television.
And it's your television.
My television. I'm sensitive about it.
So, that's all you took with your clothes and your TV.
Oh, and the refrigerator.
I got to go.
Because she didn't want the refrigerator, so it was left at the house.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went and took the refrigerator. But the thing is that I was fine. I needed peace of mind.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted.
I don't think she's going to have peace of mind. I mean, you spend 20-some-odd years with a person. They go and have a child on you. I don't think she has peace of mind. That's why she relapsed.
I think there will be peace of mind. She's been trying to put on this farce.
Gotcha.
That she's, you know, they're happily married and they're this and that for the public eye.
Got you.
Everything has been unraveling.
And she's been trying to hold it together.
She's been trying to hold it together, not talk about it. I think, honestly, the best PR move for her is to talk about it.
Absolutely.
And to say how she, you know, is going to be tough.
I think she's been so messy with other people's business and their lives and their divorces that now she just, but I mean, she... My mother always said, don't ever throw a brick or a rock at a glass house. I wouldn't do it. Like right now, how we do Word on the Street, like I try to deliver the facts. Because I really just, I don't have a squeaky clean life. There's some shit that I did recently I don't really want nobody to know.
Please don't tell them about that.
But you know, it's the truth. I would never throw a stone, and I live in a glass house. I just wouldn't do it. But even with that being said, I don't celebrate at the demise of anybody else. I don't celebrate at anybody's struggle. I know that this might be a very, very hard situation for her. Again, she spent 26 years or so with this man who they built an empire together.
I had his mistress living around the
corner. Yeah, that's fucked up.
So, you know.
That's fucked up.
That's what they did back in the day. I was actually watching Goodfellas last night. And that's some shit that they did was they had their mistress or quote unquote their girlfriend around the corner from where they stayed. And the wives understood that they were wives and they had girlfriends. Because they have money. Now, this dude don't have no money, so I don't know.
He does. He has money. I mean, he has their money.
He has their money. Thank you.
But what was hers was his.
He's not even an executive.
He was an executive producer, though, of the show. Listen, I don't know what their bank accounts are. I know they got more money than I do in the story.
Much more money.
You know, it's just a sad situation. I wish Wendy well. I hope she stays sober. I hope she's, like you said, finds peace.
And that's going to be the peace because she's been tripping out.
Yeah.
Trying to hold it together, relapsing.
Passing out.
When you let those demons go and that stuff go.
And they say he was abusive.
You'll let it go. He probably was.
He looks abusive.
He probably was. Probably told her that nobody will go with you. You're not going to get any better than I am. You see they're calling you the Grinch and everything. And yeah, we called it the Grinch.
Called it the Grinch. Yeah. I said, how you doing?
Some other people call
how
it the
you
Grinch.
Doing?
But, you know, that's the shit that they tell you.
Yeah, break you down.
To break you down. And she probably heard that enough and was like,
yeah,
well, I do look like the Grinch. And
yeah.
I don't, you know, nobody.
Her insecurities were being played on.
And
so,
you know, it's like, well, my legs are not toned and I look so disfigured.
It's
and
just so sad because as women, we just really.
He played on
our insecurity. But you know what? We're going to talk about that next because I really want to talk about, you know, just playing on our insecurities. But anyway, I have some more news that this is too much. Like, I can't even follow it all. But my good friend, Anthony Jackson, who is a friend of the show, he sent me this article. And I saw it on the news, but I really didn't pay attention to it. Like, I've been really, really busy. But have you guys heard about this school teacher who went on like a killing spree? Well, basically, his name was Roy McClendon Thompson, and he was rumored to have killed his best friend, Michael Mays, a week prior to killing his male escort, James Curtis Jones, on the same day he bonded out of jail in this Atlanta tragedy of sex, lies, murder, money, homosexuality, and the church. Now, I got this from Obnoxious Television.com. Listen, it's so many twists and turns to this. It's kind of crazy because everybody was saying that McClendon Thompson, Roy McClendon Thompson, was just a really, really good guy. Kappa, school teacher, all around clean cut type of dude that was always smiling. Well, come to find out, he was stealing from the church. He murdered his friend who actually was having a sexual relationship with a male escort. And then I think what ended up happening with McClendon Thompson was that he was falling in love with his escort. And he was stealing money from Tabernacle Baptist Church, which is a well-known gay church here in Atlanta. He stole a quarter of $1 million from the church and was paying up his male escort's rent. just doing a lot of sneaky, underhanded things. What really caught me by surprise, it didn't catch me by surprise though, was that these well clean cut, you know, men that were in this situation, you would never know that they were gay. And from what the escort was saying, what they were saying about the escort is that he had a lot of high profile, very well-known black men that were on his, in his Rolodex. And I'm just gonna say this, and I hope I'm not being offensive to anyone, but ladies, be careful. That's all I can say, is that we're dealing at a time in this lifetime where a man's word is not his bond really anymore. And you have to really get to know people that you're really being intimate with, sharing your cookies with. Because, listen, it's just not worth it. This was a lot of scandal. This was a lot of lies. The male escort moved from one city to Atlanta, changed his whole name because he was a felon, had a rap sheet. He couldn't even get an apartment with the rap sheet that he had. This guy, Roy McClendon Thompson, actually purchased... what did he do? He spent a whole, like, he paid up his rent for a whole year. And this man looked like he was just a fine brother working out in the gym with a nice package. Because, yes, I saw the uncensored pictures that he sent to him. Listen, a lot of these men are gay.
I'm not.
Mike is not. But a lot of these men in Atlanta are gay. A lot of these men in D.C. are gay. A lot of these men in New Orleans are gay. A lot of, I mean, just everywhere. But even if you were, I just feel that if you are a gay black man, there's no reason for you to be in hiding or in the closet or ashamed about your sexuality. If you are a bisexual gay man, black man, it's no reason for you to hide. Listen, there are a lot of women out here that understand bisexuality. For me, I do not, because I'm not a bisexual. I just know that I like penis. But there are a lot of women out here who are bisexual and will be in a relationship with a bisexual man because they already know what it feels like. I don't.
I need to know who these women are.
Why?
These bisexual women. Yes. Need to know.
Jesus. I swear to God, yo. I'm too tired to even go into this discussion. But yo, I feel like, and another thing that I also feel like is that people are playing too much with the church.
Well, that's true.
I can't get with that.
That whole thing, I kind of put it like this. People are using and abusing, and this dude went on a killing spree. Yo. You got to be careful, just period.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're gay, you're straight, whatever.
Right.
Be careful of the person that you are dealing with intimately. I've known pussy to do things to men that just had them off the deep end.
It's crazy.
I've known dick to do things to women.
Yeah.
To make them do things, and they're not quote unquote crazy, but it'll make them crazy. So please be careful. You know the person that you are getting with. And when you slide into them, what's going to happen? Because they, oh, I love you.
Well, you know, there was a woman who just killed a pastor last week. My friend sent me that article. I wish I had brought that article up. It wasn't as crazy as this article, but a woman just killed her lover and shot his wife because, you know, she was in love with this man. And y'all got to stop fucking with people's emotions. I'm sorry. Like, you got to stop fucking with people's emotions. Stop having affairs with people. If you married, why get married and you know that you want to fuck around? I just don't get it. And then if you and your wife ain't really seeing eye to eye on things, y'all not happy with one another, shit, just move the fuck on. I know that there are a lot of people who don't want to get divorced, so it's hard for you to get divorced, but bitch, you can leave. You can leave.
You have the option of leaving.
Yes.
If you're going to work it out, please don't bring someone else into
that. Yes. Yes. That part, Mike.
Coming from a formerly married man. Do not bring other people into your marriage.
No, it's not fair to you, them, or your wife.
If you're trying to work it out with them.
Man, come on with it.
Because then they're like, well, I thought.
No.
And you're just playing with them because you need that boost and that confidence. Don't do it.
I'm going to tell you this. I was in a situation where I was in love with a person. And to be honest, this is why I said I would never do this again. Because I felt like it took more out of me because I didn't do the right thing. I was in a situation with someone who had been separated from their wife for a whole entire year. Okay. He had his own place. She had her own place. They were going through the proceedings of their divorce. And even though all of that was taking place and he is divorced, it just hurt me to my core. And I felt like it hurt me more because I felt like God was trying to teach me a lesson. And I never wanted to experience that hurt ever again. So I had already made up in my mind that I would never, I don't care how many times you tell me that y'all are separated or whatever, whatever. I wouldn't do it. And I feel that if you're in, like this guy, Robert McClendon Thompson, he had a whole relationship with a man for 20 some odd years. He had a husband. So listen. It's time out for playing games. Like I said, we're trying to restructure our village, build healthier, stronger communities. And the only way you can do that is if we have healthy, strong households. Period.
Well, I agree with that.
Period.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I agree with that. We have to do that. One thing that I kind of live by, because this is when you deal with married folks, they try to put kind of clamps on the single person that they're trying to get with. Like, ugh. You can't date nobody else, but I'm still married. No.
Right.
We don't do that.
And get in and your feelings.
We'll tell you, okay, well, what are you doing? Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing this weekend?
It's a lesson for everything. I feel like you learn and you grow and you do things. Like for me, that was a learning experience that I needed to have because I realized that I didn't want to be the wife that, would have a husband that cheated on me. And I didn't want to be a mistress. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was a learning experience. It's something that I would never take away from my experiences as being a grown ass woman. And I learned from it and I moved on from it. My mom, sometimes she says, you're still not over that shit. But, again, it was a covenant that was, I didn't break the covenant. The covenant was broken before me. That's why they were going through a divorce. But again, I just felt like it was something that I shouldn't have done. I felt like I was worth more than that. And on that note,
you are.
I mean, and it's all about knowing your worth. No, I'm not. I'm not cut out for that. Now, a gold digger, a sugar baby, yes.
Oh, Jesus.
I will take a man's, I will take his money freely.
Forget what I just said.
Because it is rightfully due to me. Period.
See. I got no
What's problem. Wrong with taking... Why don't... Okay. Listen. Time out. Word on the street is over. Why is it that men don't want to take care of women no more these days?
I don't have a problem taking care of you if you're my woman.
Okay, but I mean, my whole
if
thing...
If you're my woman.
Man.
If I'm not sharing you with anyone else...
Okay, so if y'all are dating, you don't have a problem taking care of her?
No. We gotta be more than just dating. You follow what I'm saying?
No.
Now, if I okay, this is the thing. I look at things like investments. I'm okay. gonna invest time and money into you if I feel you're worth the value.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that. But am I paying all your bills? No.
No. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I feel that I know that there's certain levels to things. Like there are women who are gold diggers. Like they just want to get what they can get from men and keep it moving. Okay. But there are women who want to be taken care of. Like I know for a fact that I want to be taken care of only because.
So you don't want to work?
No, work is what I do. I've been working all my life. I don't mind working.
Okay.
But I want to be taken care of and I want to be treated special. I don't want,
So when you say taken care of, please define that for our male audience. Because I don't know what you mean by that. Because when you say taken care of, I'm seeing you in a house, you being taken care of, like the Housewives of Atlanta.
Wait, what does everybody reference the Housewives of Atlanta when they talk about me?
Because that's what you, when you said take care.
But no, people referenced that show to about me more than once. And I just don't, I am not like none of those bitches on that show.
When I think about somebody being taken care of, I'm thinking about a guy that is a football player or whatever and the wife. Or a girlfriend who is living in the home.
No.
And she's not doing anything.
Let me tell you what taking care of is for me.
Please explain.
Taking care of for me means that I'm not worried about a damn thing.
Okay.
I know that we have a home, we have a car, we have life insurance policies. I know that we're going to take at least 2 trips a year, 1 locally, 1 outside of the United States. I know that on Sundays, you're going to gas me up for the rest of the week and my car is going to be clean and you will take care of the yard.
Okay, that means we're living together, we're engaged. I don't do
that. That's what I'm talking about. That's marriage. Day. That's marriage right there. That's commitment.
Yes.
That's what I mean by being taken care of. Like,
so you want to be married?
Everybody wants to, well, yeah.
Okay.
I think everybody wants somebody.
So I think you need to say that instead of, you know, I want to be taken care of. I want to be wanted. I want to be.
That's the same thing.
But that's not how men see it. Because when I hear taken care of and I hear wife, that's 2 different things.
Yeah, I mean, see, I feel
gold
like.
Gold diggers want to be taken care of. But they are not going to play the position of wife. You see what I'm saying? A wife is going to be down for you no matter what. That's your ride or die. That's how I look at my. That's how I look at a wife.
I got you.
And everybody can't be a wife. Everybody can't be a wife because you got to be built for it. And I know for me, I do want a wife.
Right.
But every woman that I come in contact with, I'm like, nah. I know who and what it takes.
Why are you saying, are you saying like that because you've already been married?
I've already been married, but I know where my future is headed. And you have to be a strong woman to endure, okay, well, you know, some chick going to say such and such about it. But you know I'm here with you. So we have to deal with a whole bunch of... That comes with the territory of just being famous. Being on the road, traveling, doing movies, doing shows, things like that. Someone that's going to be beside you, like. Okay.
So, are you with Pastor Gray in this bullshit?
What you mean?
Are you down for Pastor Gray in his whole? Oh, I didn't have sexual relations with this woman. It was more of a spiritual infidelity, or you know, he said he didn't have sexual relations with the woman, but the woman said that he started speaking in tongues when he was about to come.
Okay, let me say this about Pastor Gray. Because I like Pastor Gray. I know you don't like him for that fact.
I never did like him. I just thought that he was a showboat pastor, but go ahead.
Well, if you know his come ups, because he was a comedian before the whole pastor
thing. Oh, I didn't even know that.
But he...
He looks like a clown.
I have a lot of respect for Pastor Gray.
Oh, okay.
And the office that he's in. Oh. As far as the infidelity and whatever, to me, that's his house. And that's between him and his wife. got nothing to do with me.
So why does he keep on bringing it out there? If he had shut the hell up and let it be between he and his wife, we would have never known it.
I think people are so, they want to know. And they are trying to dig into his life.
We would have never known.
They're trying to dig into his life. But
he got up on that stage in his church and decided to talk about it.
Well, he had to talk about it after he was confronted about it when he was doing stuff for his wife. That's when it was all, no, why is he buying her this car? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And then he said something to the fact that, you know, she's seen me through dark places. So then,
boom, that's it.
So then people wanted to.
Nope, that's it.
That was a radio conversation.
She's been there with me through my darkest periods.
Yes, and then
that's why I got the car. That's it.
But that's any marriage.
Right.
So that's your dark places. So okay, I'm going to use you for an example.
Okay.
So we're married. And
okay.
If we are going, we're going to go through trials and tribulations, go through a period where I may not be working. I may be depressed. You will be seeing me through that
dark
will be
places.
My dark place.
Right. But we don't have to go in on what your dark place was.
He didn't during the conversation that he had on the Breakfast Club. They started poking into it. So he had to answer to it. That's how he felt he should respond. Me personally, that's my business.
Absolutely.
That's between me and you.
And this is why I say I don't like Pastor John Gray. Because he went in and did what he did for a television reality TV show. Y'all gotta start. Okay, this is my whole thing. And this is why, you know, I don't deal with a lot of mega preachers. I don't deal with T.D. Jakes. Everybody deals with T.D. Jakes and his daughters. Y'all gotta stop treating this thing as a business. Stop treating a calling that what you quote unquote say God has called you to do as a business and start treating it as a calling. I don't want to see my pastor on a reality television show. Period. Like, and that's what I'm saying. See, how he got his wife that car was because they were doing book deals and television deals. So they got an advance with their own network. And that's how he went and got his wife that expensive car, which I think it is horrible to be a pastor and you're in an area in Greenville, South Carolina, where the people are poor. And you go and you spend all that money on a car for your wife. When you look at Jesus, Jesus was not doing none of this shit that these mega pastors are doing. They're not. He just didn't. If you look and read scripture and see what Jesus did, Jesus was more of a servant to his people than he was a showboat motherfucker. Okay, so at the end of the day, no, I don't fuck with John Gray. I don't fuck with T.D. Jakes. I don't fuck with Creflo Dollar. I don't fuck with none of these people. They're talking about they need a helicopter. They need a Learjet. They need all this fucking security. Why do you need security and you're a pastor? Period. You do not need no security and you're a pastor. It's just like, I don't know. I know that I'm going off on a tangent, but
that you are.
I just feel that this is why we're so lost. This is why our community is so lost, because we have this thing called religion and religious people that just got our community fucked up.
Well, I'm a disagree with you a little bit, and this is why. Now, I understand John Gray. Like, yeah. I said, I like John Gray. The thing that I will agree with you on is the, you know, it being looked at as a business. I don't like that. I don't like that part. Now, I feel like I should be able to buy my wife whatever she wants, whatever I choose to. If I got the means to do it, I'm going to do it. So if we were married and you wanted a new house, or you wanted a new car, I will get you whatever you desire, because I want to make my princess, my queen, happy. That is my mission as the husband.
Okay. All right,
so that's one. Two, now in regards to him doing things for the community, Gray does a lot. He does a hell of a lot. That's why he had Restoration go to that place, so that he could help to the community. So that's that one. Number three, as it relates to let me talk about this business side. I don't too much care for it either. That part of being on television and things like that, I understand the initial part is we're trying to get the message out about Christ and what Christ does in our lives. I get that part, but I think somewhere along the way, we have gotten skewed, because I've seen that not with just Gray, but a whole lot of pastors who want to be seen and disguise that as I'm ministering for Christ. No, you want to be seen.
Right.
That's not of Christ.
Right.
I don't subscribe to that part. If you have things that are going on in the community and that needs money and attention, but you're taking money so that you can be seen, I know where your heart is.
Yep.
So those things I tend to worry about, like trips to Africa to build a church, but you got people that are over there that need water and food. Take that money and give the people what they need.
That part.
That's where
let's
we
talk
are.
About let's that's stop going to other countries and building fucking churches when you got people in your own community that don't have clean water. You got children that don't have decent shoes. You have children that don't have food to eat during the summer. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about why we don't have our secondary education for our parents so that they can help their children be financially stronger and have health insurance and life insurance and things of that magnitude. So every time you turn around, there's a murder or there's a death, a sudden death, we don't have to have a GoFundMe account. You know, like, these are things that should be talked about in the church and should be preparing their parishioners. But we so you know, caught up in what we look like in the public eye. And I get it. You know, I'm the selfie queen. I know I like to stunt. You know what I'm saying? But yes, I also like to roll up my fucking sleeves and go knock on people's doors to tell them to go vote. I know that I also like to educate people about AIDS and HIV. I know that I also do a lot of breast cancer makeovers and things for free. So it's like, a lot of times you see these pastors and stuff. I just got finished telling my mom this in church today. We went and visited a church today. And one of the men got up on the stage and started speaking, and I could just see the pastor and his wife just rolling their eyes. And I was like, this is not what you, I said, that turned me off. And my mom was like, well, they're men, they're people, they have faults too. I said, I understand that. But when you are a leader and you're talking about being one of God's chosen, there's certain things that you have to learn to turn off. Even if I don't care for a person, I still have to love that person. You know what I'm saying? Even if I don't really care for their ways, I still have, how many times has God forgiven us for what we've done? So you're going to sit back here and let this man get up on the stage and talk his shit, which was some real shit that he was talking and speaking. But yet, because you don't care for that person, I looked over at the pastor and his wife and they rolling their eyes. And when the man is saying amen, they don't even open their mouths to say amen. That's fucked up. So on that note, we ran over time.
Well, you ran over time.
Whatever, Mike. It was a good fucking discussion. I don't care what you say.
And see, she was gonna cut it off because one of the things that we have that me and her disagree about is the church. I am a minister's child. I'm a PK. But there are a lot of things about the church that I don't like. There's some things that I do like. Now, the things that, you know, that we as people, we need to do is stop hating. Stop hating. That's the reason why John Gray had to come forth and say what he said, because people were hating on what he was doing for his wife, or they wanted to know about his life. Personally, I'm going to tell y'all something. My personal life is my business. If I have a wife and what we do in our bedroom or whatever, that's our
okay
business.
But when you're talking about using, when you're talking like just like this man who was just found out for stealing what, $250,000, that's why people want to know. They want to make sure that their that the church money is not tied up with your money.
But Gray has his own money, and he gave money to that. I don't know if you saw that video where they took up the offering, the tithes and the offering, and he asked the people that were in trouble to come to the front. And he asked them what they needed. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. That's not seen
in a whole lot. That's fucked up
to me. No. That's
fucked
no,
up to me.
You're
doing that for a show.
No.
Yes, he was.
Because this was somebody that was recording. And this is one of the reasons I would ban cell phones from church, period. Because phones, honestly, when it comes to stuff like that, whatever cameras you got on for television, whatever phones you got on.
They got cameras in the church.
Listen to what I'm saying before you speak now. Whatever cameras are on, whatever cell phones are recording, I would ask that they be turned off. Because that type of stuff, to me, that is ministry. And I don't need to know that Cousin Jerry is going through a hard time.
That part.
Or been laid off.
That part.
Because that's ministry. That's just like going out in the streets and helping the homeless. I don't need to see that recorded.
That's horrible.
Because you're doing that for a show.
Absolutely.
We don't need to see that. That's ministry. And that's helping people. And people have to feel comfortable coming. And that's where we miss
that's
it because we want to be seen a lot.
That's what I was talking about.
That's people in general. And me personally, I would just ban cell phones from church. Just like Kevin Hart banned cell phones from his shows. I would do the same thing for church because church needs to be a place where you can get help if you need to. That's what the community, that's what it was built for.
Kevin Hart banning cell phones.
Well, when you go to his show, they will tell you prior to going in, there are no cell phones allowed. When you get the tickets, there's no cell phones allowed at the show. If they catch you, they have security walking around. If they catch you, they're putting you out.
Oh, okay.
Plain and simple.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's, I mean,
he does arena shows. I was just trying to figure out how he did.
There's an ass of security. And when you go through initially, they're checking for your cell phone. When you get
in
there.
I'm taking in my cell phone now. You can't tell me I can't take my cell phone.
But they ask not to record.
And people
will do it anyway.
Of course.
Because,
of course.
Oh, I got to be the first and, oh, I got to do this. No, you don't.
But I know because a lot of people use technology now to even, you know, for their Bibles. I know that they're not going to be able to ban cell phones in church unless it's a smaller church.
What's wrong with an old-fashioned Bible? I got several.
I do too, but
I bring the Bible to church, not my phone.
It's and just easier for me to find scripture.
And then they have screens where they put the Bible verses up on the screen.
Yeah.
So y'all gotta miss me.
But then like you was texting me in church today and I said,
I didn't know you were in church.
Right.
I didn't know you were in church.
Right.
You could have answered when you got out of church.
Whatever.
See? I just asked you what time we were gonna get to
whatever, Mike.
She snatched the mic away from me. Whatever, Mike.
Anyway, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Mike, I really want to talk about insecurities because I feel that, you know, as a woman, I have some insecurities about myself. And I really want to get and pick your brain about how men, do you guys, like, do you pick up on that? Or is it something that is just you don't really pick up on? So we'll be right back with this short break. Please stay tuned to the Dame Truth. All right, Mike. So we're going to do this real quick. Now, one of the reasons why I really wanted you on the show was because I needed to know about things from a male perspective. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, as you know, women have insecurities. I don't care what woman, I don't care who she is. Beyonce, Cardi B, I don't care. Mona Lisa, I'm pretty sure that bitch had insecurities, right?
She had. Okay.
I'm just saying, she probably did. It was something about herself that she didn't like. It was something. So my whole thing is this, Mike. And this is what I want to know. For me, when I am dating a guy, right? And the guy is into you, always calling you. And then the guy kind of like stops with the whole, like, he's into you. I start to feel like, well, is it something that I did? Is it something that I said? Is it how I look? What is it? And I know that a lot of times this might be just what is in my head, but I feel that if a man is not consistent, it's because it's something about you that he doesn't care for anymore. Is that true?
It depends.
What? You can't just say it. Make me work, Mike.
Okay, so I can just go on how I've done things.
Okay.
If I tend to lose interest, and that could be something that hasn't been said or something that was said. Like if a woman says, I want to have kids.
Okay.
And I no longer want to have kids.
Okay.
There's going to be a disconnect. And normally I'm not the one that does it, but I know when I'm not getting phone calls or anything else, then that was the thing that happened. I'm the kind of guy that I'm going to ask, so what happened?
So you think that, okay, so let me just put out this. This is not what happened, but this has happened. So I feel that a lot of times when men want a woman, right, and they mm-hmm. want her sexually, they chase her until they get her. And then once they get her and get her vagina, then a lot of times they feel very relaxed. Is that the woman's fault for a man feeling like he's too relaxed? Or is that just something that they do? Because I feel that a lot of times if you're not in a relationship with somebody and they do that, I feel like that's kind of disrespectful.
I think that's on both sides, though. Because people tend to get relaxed a little bit.
Okay.
But you have to, and this is my thing. I always believe that there is always competition.
Right. Period.
And people don't want to hear that. I know that there is another man that's coming after my woman.
Oops.
Because if he's got good taste, hopefully I've got good taste, you know, other men want
right,
my woman.
Right, right.
So I'm going to continue to do those things that I was doing before
she
gave me the draws. Because it could end real quickly. If I'm not giving her attention in time, another dude is going to slip up and give her the time. It may be a coworker, maybe somebody at the church.
Yep. Yep.
You never know. So you cannot relax on your job. When you are the champ, that's when you have to fight the hardest, not when you're on the come up. Your real fight is when you got the title.
But what I think that is happening right now in with this generation, because there was a young lady at my job and I was legit just really trying to, I hate to say this, but I was trying to minister to her because it seemed like she's so hard up for somebody. She's 21 years old. I think she's 20. She's 20, 21 years old. And I can tell that she is so insecure. And she's a beautiful young lady. But I think that men kind of feed off of her insecurities. When I say she is a gorgeous young girl, and I would look at her and say, dang, she should have, you know, but that would be, you know, going into the stereotype that she should have a man. But I told her today, I said, have you ever thought that maybe this is just your time to grow as a woman and that you don't need a man right now at this point in your life, that you need to just learn how to grow and find out about yourself before you get really, you know, invested into somebody else? And she heard me, but then she went on about how the guy didn't call her back and she was waiting for, he left her on red and he never responded. And I feel like that really, that is what creates a lot of insecurities in women. When men do certain things like that, they read your message, but they don't respond back, or they respond back hours later. And I just feel like it's just, you know, it feeds into insecurity.
Well, sometimes now for me, if you send me a message during the middle of the day and I don't respond for hours, I'm working.
Got you.
So I may be teaching a class or something like that, but I will get back with you.
But okay, pause right there. You say you're busy, but before you got the draws, even if you were busy, you still responded. Still reached out. No, I'm just saying, I'm not saying you per se. I'm just saying, like, there are men who, like I said, do the chasing mm-hmm. until they get it. Once they got it, it's like, I'm leaving you on red. I'm not calling you until, you know, 2 or 3 days later. And that's just not right. And I'm wondering if men do that because they chase you because they want to get your vagina. And then when they get it, it's on to the next one, unless you do some really freaky deaky shit that they really enjoy, or unless you really have them mind wise involved in you. Why are you looking like that, Mike?
Because there are a couple of answers for this. One.
Okay, give us
one. I've only not called women for a couple of reasons, or I tried to give them, you know, distance. One, sex might be trash.
Horrible. That's one.
Is the sex is trash. It's just, you get no call back. Second thing, it may have gone just way too fast. This person is professing their love for you, and it creeps
a turn
the
off
the person to the point where it's like, okay, I'm
that's
not
a turn
ready
off
for that.
Right.
The other thing is that the chase just might be what it is. You might be dealing with a person that just wants the chase. And once they get it, it's like, oh, got her. On to the next.
That's horrible.
Now, I'm just saying that may be it. For me, I've never been that one to chase and then just be done. I think our selection of people has to improve. We just want someone, Maria, you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But you got to make sure, I mean, the best sex is when you're both mentally and physically involved and invested.
Yes.
That's great sex.
That is.
But, you know, we tend to not want that. We tend to shy away from that because we want what we want.
Well, we don't want to be vulnerable.
And we get scared when we meet that match.
Yep.
And that's why I tell people, I'm like, one of the questions I ask is, how do you handle success? And people don't know how to answer the question. And I'm like, I ask the question because if we are compatible to a point like, okay, well, he's got no drama here, no drama here. There's nothing here. He's decent looking. You know, I would, because those are questions I ask when she doesn't respond. I'm like, so what makes me a bad choice, but you gonna pick this dude that don't mean shit.
Right.
You gonna take him over me.
Crazy.
You don't wanna be successful. You want to have that fucked up relationship that you can talk to or talk about to your friends.
Some people like drama.
And I'm not for it. I want people that wanna be successful. Mm-hmm. That's what I want, a relationship that's successful.
Gotcha.
And I'm to the point now where it doesn't matter. I will confront someone that I'm like, look, I think we're compatible. Why aren't we doing this? And it's like, they look at me like, okay, you're real bold. And I'm like, if Nipsey ain't taught us anything, tomorrow's not promised.
It's not.
And why not spend the rest of our lives together?
Right.
Having these 5 years where we're going back and forth and we're not, you know, we like each other, but we're not doing anything.
I think, again, it's because a lot of women don't really know what it is that what they want. And there are a lot of men who don't know what they want. That's where it comes into really finding out what it is that you're insecure about, working on those insecurities, not letting them fester in you, and don't allow anybody to play on your insecurities. And it just really got to me because at first, like today when I saw her, I was like kind of dreading seeing her because I was like, Lord, I know she's going to come to me. And the first thing that she said to me was, I went on a date with a guy who's mixed. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? And then she was like, he has 5 kids, but He took me out to dinner, and then he took me out to breakfast. So I said, well, hold up. I said, did you spend the night where he... She was like, no. He just took me to breakfast the next day. I said, oh, so you hungry?
She lying. She spent the night.
Yo.
She didn't want to be labeled as a hoe.
He
took me to dinner. He fucked me. I went to sleep. He took
Listen,
me to breakfast.
I'm not going to sit here and say that she's lying because, like I said...
I will.
I just want women to really... throw away their insecurities. And I'm seeing that a lot now on social media. And that's one of the reasons why I've been so open with, you know, my body type and what I look like and all these other things, because I feel that so many bigger girls just give us their face. They don't give you the whole body. They don't embody their bodies. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that a lot of times you need to step away from that one angle and give them...
Oh, well, my church music for that. Oh,
You got to step away from that one angle, that same dumbass filter with the flowers across your forehead, and really keep it real. If you have, you know, skin that is not good, okay, we're going to work on making our skin better. If you have weight on you that you want to drop, okay, we're going to work on dropping this weight. If you have something about you that you want to change in your financial situation, we're going to change our financial situation. Stop feeding into your insecurities, Mike, if you play that damn church music. Anyway, listen, this was a great show, guys. I just want to say thank you for tuning in to the Dame Truth again. I feel that this whole Nipsey Hussle thing has really touched me in a tremendous way, and I am willing to fight the cause of getting our communities back in track and in shape and in order and just help having a healthy village. I was in the backyard digging in dirt yesterday and the day before yesterday with my sister and my mom, and just really just trying to live a better, healthier, happier life. And so I encourage everybody to do the same. Mike is over here getting skinny and slim. His name is going to be Magic Mike because he is disappearing on a bitch. Like, we gotta do better. So I am all for the alkaline diets. I am all for the vegan diets. I'm all for the let's just eat what we love, but just do it in moderation diets. I am all for healthy relationships. I am all about, you know, just increasing our net worth. I am for it. So if you are for it, please tune into the Dame Truth every Tuesday.
For sure. And I'm on a no salt, very low salt. I monitor what I drink. So that's
well, you just had a whole cup of my sweet tea and it's very diabetical.
Yeah, it is.
Shut up, Mike. It's not that diabetical.
I probably gained a pound.
My nigga, no, it's not.
But I've done enough today because I was in the steam room and did cardio today.
I'm going to tell you right now, I had a honey bun today.
I'm glad you had it for us. I appreciate it.
I had it and it was thebomb.com.
I had to look at stuff like that. I'm like,
listen, I needed something sweet. Like, I could tell my blood sugar level was low. Mike, don't look at me like that. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, guys, you can always catch us on the Dame Truth Facebook page. You can follow me on Instagram at Hermosa Cosmetics. And you can find Mike Doc at the Wednesday Gentleman
fan page. Yes, go to the fan page. And I am at the Wednesday Gentleman on Instagram.
All right, guys, until next Tuesday, we love you.
Love, peace.
And so... Oh, will we get taken to court for that?
I don't know.
Whatever.
I hope not.
Don Cornelius is dead.
Rest in peace.
Later.